from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and veterans beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast that, like, really, we got to lead with kindness and love. That's going to be the only way to do it. This is a podcast where everybody's welcome, so I'm glad you're here, because it's time for Sleep With Me. Well, maybe not all of the Ironborn. Was the Stormborn or the Ironborn? I guess I gotta hedge things about fictional characters that irritate me. Like, what's his name? His name rhymes with Euron. Anyway, it's time for Sleep With Me. Excuse me, this podcast put you to sleep. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're regular listeners Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show is just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each design designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. I also want to thank everybody who worked on the show. Carl W., the legend, edited this episode. Chris Posterson did the theme music. Jonathan Manns on the lullabies. Scott and Jennifer on our artwork. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter. And listeners have their own Facebook group. You can get a shortcut there, sleepingpodcast.com/nods. I want to thank Summer Sarah, Julie and Jennifer, Stacy, Lauren, Keith. And that is it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, this is time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to do is attempt to create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's been keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts running through your brain or, you know, whatever their thoughts do, the thinking stuff, feeling stuff, emotions, physical sensations, any of your senses. I don't know if we have 5 or 6 senses. I'm not sure. And here's cool. We'll get back to this. Is ESP based on another sense, or is it just you're really good at all your senses, or is that like a debatable thing? Maybe we'll talk about that for this intro. If you're new here, welcome. So this is a podcast of what you sleep. I'm going to try to create a safe place to distract you from whatever's keeping you awake. And the way I'm going to attempt to do this, I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use these lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. They can be an acquired taste. It is a taste you may acquire. So don't worry. Give it a little time if you're new here. There's no pressure. This is a pressure-free podcast, and let me tell you what I mean if you're just stopping by. No pressure to listen to me. You don't got to pay attention. There's no quizzes, no scheduled quizzes, no pop quizzes. And, there's a lot of nonsense in this podcast, so how could I quiz you? It wouldn't be fair. And you say, well, if we had an open book, my handwriting's illegible. So if we had an open book test, you'd say, I can't read your writing, Scoot. So see, I can't give you a quiz. And plus, it's to help you fall asleep. So no pressure to listen. But this is the other thing that's a little bit out of place. This is a podcast about you sleep. You're under no pressure to fall asleep. This isn't a sleep cure, not a sleep solution. I don't believe it's a sleep Band-Aid either. What it is a sleep offering. It's something out there you can listen to take your mind off of stuff while you fall asleep. If you're like me or a lot of listeners, you've tried a lot of stuff and maybe you've had varying levels of success with those things. Well, this is like a bedtime story. Like if you called your friend on the phone or you had your friend over, or your roommates, or your partner, or your beau, how do you say that, beau, B-A-E-U, you know, or your is a bae a formal relationship? I know that's like a few years old, but or is that like a beau? Are a beau and a bae interchangeable? Or is that like a more serious thing? You say, well, you're my bae. And I say, no, 2012 calling, but it's just like a, But whatever it is, like, I'm just your boyfriend. Actually, I have your boy bay. That never came up before, but I think that's what I am, your boy bay. If I'm using bay correctly, I could be your boy bow. I could be your boy bow. Your bow call, gentleman caller. That's too much. And what I mean by that is I'm here to talk, to try to barely amuse you. barely engage you, just enough to take your mind off, like I said, whatever's keeping you up, or provide you with some company, some companionship, so you can take a few breaths, you can sink deeper into your bed. You can say, hey, this kind of silly thing is here for me. And maybe to deflate some of the seriousness around bedtime. You know, that's what the goofy part of the podcast is, other than me just being myself. So no pressure to fall asleep. I'll be here for about an hour. Structure of the show, just in case you're new or you've been around. The first five or six minutes of the show are the business section. Obviously, we got to have that up front. If you're new, you probably were like, what is this? But if you listen regularly, it's pretty critical you listen to that part either tomorrow or you pay attention. That's what keeps the show going and keeps our archives free. But if you're new, don't worry about it. Then we have an intro, which we're into now. And those intros tend to be like around 12 to 14 to 18. It's a show within a show. There's some discussion on the Facebook group when I'm recording this around the intros. And I think it's just a mood setter. I think a big part of this podcast is when I say a safe place, I mean it. I'm trying to craft out it's not an audio environment, but to create a sense of safe place. And I think this intro, you know, some people start listening to it while they're brushing their teeth, while they're winding down. But the whole idea is to kind of say, okay, like not set your expectations, because there's not much to expect here. Expect you don't need to listen, and expect you're under no pressure to fall asleep. And expect like halfway through the intro, right around 6 minutes, I'm going to go off topic. Because remember, I was talking about ESP in the senses. I mean, this podcast is full of senselessness. So the five senses, give me a second, because to touch, sight, sound, taste, it feels the same. I only have four, smell, touch, sight, sound, smell, and taste. Are those the five senses? So then you have ESP, they call it, extrasensory perception. Does that mean you have an extra sense, or is it perception beyond the senses? Oh boy, whoever came up with that must have anticipated people like me trying to figure out what it meant. So it means perception beyond the senses. Man, I did take four semesters of Latin. Is orum is, you know, that's what my professor would say. The poor Latin professors. So I guess I thought that would take up the rest of the intro, trying to figure out if ESP was referring to having an extra sense, but I guess it's extrasensory perception. But what's perceiving then? I don't want to get into any existential questions, but how do we perceive? If it's not a sense, what's the, so I don't want to call Garbanzo on this one, but also anybody with ESP probably knows that this may be the first time that word was used in this context, but that's fitting. I don't want to call Garbanzo on it, but you could start using that tomorrow if you want, or yesterday if you have ESP. But if you don't have a sense, how do we perceive things, right? I think I'm on to something. So there is a sixth sense. They say that, I've heard that term used in movies, in other discussions, the sixth sense. So then it would be perception, like extrasensory, ESSP. It should be an extra sense, AESESP. But then you probably wouldn't need the second. An extra sense, perceiving via an extra sense. PV, perceiving via. Do we need an A for the an, or can we just skip that? PV, PVS, perception via, EVS, PVEVS or something. No wonder instead of the X files, it would be the question mark files, the scooter, the question mark files. Perception via an extra sense is, I'm into alliteration, but do I have a point or am I off point here? And what? Here's a question, raised some controversy. You think our lymph system's involved in this sixth sense? You know, if you listen to podcasts for a long time, you know, I love any systems in the body that start with limbic system, your lymph system. But, like, is that still a thing that we don't know what lymph does? I've heard that people tell me that we know what lymph does and stuff. But, you know, I still don't, I'm still not positive on that. I still have to read the data on that. But that could be involved in my imagination, at least. I think also the mitochondria probably have to do with the sixth and seventh senses. And I'll tell you what sense I'm always looking forward to is the sense of delight. That is what I'm striving for. And I know I realize I took a bend and now I'm trying to drive the car back onto the main road. But, what was I talking about? Well, yeah, well, I guess that's what I strive with the show. And strive means, shooting for the stars, like a pinnacle I don't always reach. But my dream would be, at least occasionally, to make bedtime feel delightful for you. Whether you listen regularly or you're a new listener, or you're like, yeah, I already loathe this guy. And I say, well, okay, I can respect that. Believe me, my hobbies, self-loathing's at the top of the list, so don't worry about it. But I really work hard and shoot for that is a sense of delight. And when I, like, and the reason why is, I think these podcasts we go back to, whether they're, whoever they make them, whether it's a Feral podcast, a Radiotopia podcast, a Night Vale podcast, independent podcast, a Max Fun, Earwolf, whatever network you prefer, your public radio, or TV, or movies. And I think of a show that doesn't get made anymore, Mystery Show, and I'll point it out because it's not getting made anymore. That means it makes it easier on me. There's just a level of delight that was brought to me by stuff that I like sometimes. But I think it's like one of those things you can't quite put into words. Or Doughboys. That's a podcast, when I listen to it, I and maybe not every time, but most of the time I feel delighted. So I don't think I get there too often, but that's where I'm trying to go. Because then you can say, whew. Oh, maybe you don't know. I guess with this package, you said, I don't know if I felt delight. And I'd say, well, groove is in the heart, if you don't mind me punning up some music. And you say, but, oh boy, now I'm totally, and I said, oh boy, a bunch in here. But I think you know what I mean. And I think that, like, I don't know, that's what I want for you, because I know how hard it is to fall asleep sometimes. I know what it's like tossing and turning. And I kind of want to shoot for the opposite of that, because you deserve it. You know, being a human being is not easy work, and it's, you know, fraught with stuff. I think that's what, I don't know if Immanuel Kant said that or who, but they said being a human being is fraught with stuff. Maybe they said fraught. I think that sounds more like Walt Whitman, frothy with stuff. Oh, no, that's what that's like one time I was with a Walt Whitman character actor, and they said, I said, well, let me buy you a coffee. And they said, I'm not ordering a coffee frothy with stuff. And the flex of humanity. I said, no, I'm not doing that. So anyway, enough philosophy. As they say, every podcast, if you're new here, this podcast doesn't work for everybody. I mean, holy macaroni. I've got, you know, I'm pulling a garbanzo here. I'm gonzo for a garbanzo. And that doesn't even mean anything. But what means a lot to me is trying to help out who I can. And here's what I say every intro, because I mean it, except for the times I forget to say it, but I still mean it even when I forget it. I'm glad you're here. I really work hard. I yearn. I strive. And I hope I can help you fall asleep. Thank you so much for coming by. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. All right, everybody, we're back. Season 7, Episode 2, Stormborn. And boy, do I feel like I literally, this is how much I love Game of Thrones, and I love all you Game of Thrones listeners, Game of Thrones listeners. I literally got off the plane an hour ago, and I'm here recording the show, watched it on my phone on the plane a few times, and this is the first episode I consumed totally on a phone, which is not ideal, just due to being on the road, but now I have it playing on an iPad. Opening's going, Winterfell's growing. But we're talking about Stormborn, and oh boy, does it make sense at the beginning, and I think at the end, if I remember, but this was quite an episode. It starts with rain on Dragonstone, and it's not exact, there's a lot of thunder. It's a pretty serious storm. I guess the weather people, or what do they call them now? Meteorologists would say it's a serious storm, but more of just like, not exactly, you wouldn't want to be outside, but you know, not exactly, like atmospheric for being on a dragon, like a dragon stone, dragon island. Oh, to live on Dragon Island, I'll tell you that. But it's called Dragonstone, actually, Scoots. Dragon Island, something else. There's some ominous waves washing up. I had to close the windows on the airplane. I mean, they're the blinds to get a good look at Dragonstone. Those waves wash in. There's lightning. There's foreshadowing with the shadows, and it's hard to see. And then much like one of my favorite rides in the previously in Disneyland, but now it's gone and they still have it at Disney World. I think the Tower of the Terrible Twos, I think they call it. It has a light on up. One lone light is on. And then Tyrion says, in a night like this, Khaleesi really could, it has a lot of work to do. And we have Varys, Tyrion, the Khaleesi. They're talking about lions. They're working out the plans on the map, but they're really working out interpersonal things. And I think this was like a cathartic moment for the Khaleesi to kind of like whatever they say. Sometimes they say when you're asleep and you're dreaming, your brain's like flushing stuff out. I think she was really flushing some stuff out with Varys. And they're talking about, well, geez, what's the strategy? Shouldn't you just do like a go, go, go? And Tyrion's like, no, let's not make a mess of things. You don't want to be queen of the ashes. And I guess like they don't think Khaleesi's going to be the Kerrigan. Like if this is StarCraft, I don't know who Khaleesi's analog is. Also, Varys is rocking what appears to me to be an upgraded robe. It's really nice. It's got like a green, it's really nicely, I don't know if it's embroidered or, like I could use that robe to hang around in. It's got these earthen tones, maybe even some iridescence. And Khaleesi comes up on him and she says, you know, who were you loyal to originally? Like, and you know, they talk around it, Robert to Cersei, her father. And she says, all your little spies, all your little birds, she goes, what did you want my brother to be king? Did you think he would be a good king? And Varys is he's got a poker face, just like they sang at the Super Bowl. And so does Khaleesi. I mean, Khaleesi's really probing him to be who are you and what do you want? And like where, like, I don't know, this is a really good scene, and she walks towards him. She's really good at making extensive eye contact, I'm noticing on this viewing. And she goes, are you worried, are you conspiratorial, or, you know, are you, do you fancy yourself a puppet master? And he goes, no, I'm the kind of servant the realm needs. I'm not blindly loyal. And I got an opinion and a point of view. And then he makes his pitch kind of to Missandei and Grey Worm. He goes, yeah, I'm not from, you know, I'm like, I've been around. I was poor and I was, you know, like worked against, you know, wasn't a free person. He goes, I'm on the side of the people, not on the side of the despots. And he goes, if you want blind allegiance, you know, that's, you can, you know, kiss me goodbye. He goes, if you want a strong opinion from a, you know, someone that's crafty, he goes, I think you're going to be a great queen. I chose to work with you, and I think you're the woman of the people, or the dragon queen of the people, or whatever title you choose. And the whole time when Khaleesi's, a couple times Tyrion tries to make peace because he didn't know where Khaleesi was going. So he tries to offer his backup a couple times, and Khaleesi shut him down. That was earlier. But then Khaleesi says, so you're going to be my truth teller for the people's side, like kind of like the Onion Knight, but different, but hopefully... And he goes, I swear it. And she goes, okay, so no conspiratorial crafting. Just say it to my face, and otherwise you're toast. He says, I would expect nothing less, my dear Khaleesi. Then the doorbell rings. The Red Priestess is in the house, his house, so the stone, I guess you'd say. And so they go out to the audience chamber throne room, and they exchange some pleasantries. Like, I was wondering if she'd say, hey, show me what you really look like, but they speak in Valyrian, and like Varys says, oh, by the way, she was loyal to somebody else. And she goes, oh, this is an auspicious day because we're forgiving people that others served other kings. You booked a great day to come, Varys. And I love that. She roasts Varys one more time. And then she says, what exactly does your lord expect from me? And then it like ends up, they're talking about this prophecy. Khaleesi's gender and non-gendered nouns are off. So Missandei says that's a non-gendered noun when she says it, like when she's talking about who's going to rule. It could be a prince or a princess or a king or a king queen. Like it's non-gendered. And Khaleesi goes, that's great, because I thought, like, I just made the assumption of freaking patriarchy's up in my brain. We got a deep patriarchy, this whole shindig. And I really liked it, like, how Missandei did it. Like, Khaleesi's like, she said, I like that. And let's see, property are dragon things. What does that mean? What does that mean? Properly our dragon thing. Oh, prophecies are dangerous things. Because she says, what's going to happen? The Red Priestess says, I don't really know. But then she goes, somebody else is going to play their part. The King in the North, Jon Snow. And Tyrion goes, what? Jon Snow? Khaleesi goes, you know him? He goes, oh yeah, we hung. You know, we hung on the wall. He goes, he's a pretty chill dude, I think. And Khaleesi says he brought all the wild, or the Red Priestess says he brought in all the wildlings, gave him protection, united the houses. And Khaleesi says, he sounds decent. She goes, summon Jon Snow, let him talk to you and tell him what he's seen. And then Tyrion goes, I can't speak for prophecies, but I like Jon Snow. He's cool. Says, I trust him, and I'm an excellent judge of character. And he says he might be a valuable ally. Plus, he doesn't like Lannisters. But then Khaleesi says, yeah, he can come and bend the knee, which gets a pretty long reaction shot from Tyrion, because they think Tyrion knows how Jon Snow doesn't bend knees. Watching this reaction again, because Khaleesi's doing her stone-cold Khaleesi thing. Yeah, it's like a 3-second reaction. Then we have archery practice with the kids at Winterfell. And Sansa, the Onion Knight, and Jon are going over Tyrion's note. Consensus is he's not like the other Lannisters, but Onion Knight says he sounds like a charmer. By the way, thank you for keeping the Onion Knight in this show. Holy cow, where would things be without, one of my favorite characters, if not my favorite character? And now, not only is he gone from his truth teller to, now he's a right-handed person, fingers or not, he says, he's now making, inferences. He says, you know what breathes fire? Dragons, dude. And whites don't like dragons, so, he goes, maybe we should go talk to her, but not, I'm with your sister, though. You shouldn't go. Maybe somebody should go, though. And, man, so, I don't know what I'd do without the Onion Knight. Then we go, next thing we know, we're in Cersei's audience chamber, and there's a bunch of scowlers in there. You gotta check this out. 1506, there's, a bunch of people scowling. And then there's this guy hand-wringing and worrying. At 1506, just pause it. He's wringing his hands. He's behind the Tarly crew. Looks a little bit like an older Hank Azaria. And at first I didn't know it was the Tarly's crew. So I said, who is that dude with a great voice? And Cersei goes, total xenophobe. If my assumption of xenophobe is correct, she's doing a new dance. It's called, I don't know if it's a new dance, but it's a new twist on a new dance. Xenophobic. She says, let's get xenophobic. Just like, Olivia Newton-John saying, let's get physical. Cersei sings that version of it. And Jamie just says, did you say xenophobe? Because look at me, I'm handsome as hell. Yeah. Then Sam's dad steps up. He goes, how the heck would we stop a dragon? By the way, Cersei. And then another one of my favorite, villainous characters, old Mad Maester, whatever, Qyburn, I think. He goes, we are currently working on a solution, my lord. I love that guy. I mean, I don't love what he does. I bet you Sam could use him to help Ser Jorah, though. Then the session ends and Jamie rolls up on Lord Tarly. There's a little joke with Tarly's kid because Lord Tarly goes, you know my kid, of course, Lord Jamie. And Jamie goes, uh-huh. What are you, Dickon? Rickon? He goes, yeah, Dickon. I believe you know my son. Jamie's like, no, I don't. Kind of. And then Jamie tries to put butter on Samwell's dad, Mr. Lord Tarly. And he's buttering him up. He goes, it's a long ride back to where I'm going, Lord Jamie. What do you want? And Jamie goes, well, I think you're the man to help me. You're totally the general. You're great at swords. You're gonna be ranking general in the wars to come. Just swear allegiance to me and help Cersei. Against everybody, even your boss, Miss Tyrell. And Mr. Charlie goes, I'm a Tarly dude. That means something. We're not oath breakers or schemers. He totally burns Jamie. We don't really put people in the back or do red wedding stuff. He goes, my oath means something. And Jamie goes, well, you got a queen here, bro. He goes, I tell you what, not only are we xenophobic, he goes, we got some ageism here. We're ready to, he goes, can you combine xenophobia and ageism into one political movement? And I say, when did they write this episode? But there's a different twist on it. Cause he says, that lady Olana's he goes, come on. I know you don't like my sister, but you'll love her. You'll love her. You'll learn to love her. He goes, Rickon, he goes, maybe Rickon, what do you think? Because he goes, really, I think you're the best. Tarly's all the way. And let me see, he says one thing. Get some in Jamie's face. Oh, he goes, there's no better man than Randall Tarly. But then the shot goes, because I said, I say Samwell Tarly. And they show Samuel Charlie grimacing, and it's at Sir Jorah's checkup, and they say, this is tonsillitis, buddy. And he goes, how long do I got? And they say, well, 10 to 20 years. But he goes, well, for sore throat, 6 months probably. And Sammy goes, what about, Stannis' daughter? Can we get it? He goes, I think he said pardon. Somebody says that because I wrote something that looks like pardon down. And the headmaster goes, does this look like a baby to you? And he goes, you got one day, Jorah, and then you're out of here. And Sam goes, should we get word to your family, sir? And they even reveal that by talking about they show a sword and stuff. So that's how they figured out he's an anointed knight. There's even a GIF or JIF face, 2036 or something. Sam gets a good GIF face. When he says, oh, Sir Jorah, Mormont. And Sam goes, what? That's the gift face. And he goes, no need. My family doesn't like me. And then they say, come on, Samwell. Then we're under the Red Keep. What's his name? Clyburn's like, you been down here? Cersei, he's down there with Cersei. And she goes, I can't say that I have. No, can't say that I can't have been or something. Have you been down here, Your Grace? I'm watching. No, can't say that I have. I liked how she said it. Cersei's still mad at Robert. I didn't realize how deep her displeasure with him. I mean, I guess she's mad at everybody, but then they're looking at the old dragons, the relics, and then Qyburn shows Valyrian the Red, the organ music starts. And Clyburn goes, powerful but not invincible. And then he does a demo for Cersei of this new crossbow thing, anti-dragon device they got. And it seems to work. He had a total, he's a salesman, man. He acted like he was totally down there. And then he says, we've been working on this thing. He pulls the cover off, it had fake dust on it and everything. And it's already aimed. Totally set up. The only thing that's missing from this scene is the blue-faced man. I don't know where the heck Clyburn and him. I guess because Clyburn's his papa, maybe. Yeah, I guess he's allowed to be alone with Cersei. Then we see the Bay of Ships, and we hear, Theon's sister's name. It won't come to me, I don't think. But she says, if you want the Iron Throne, you got to take it. Elia Sand's like, dude, it's called war for a reason. And Khaleesi was looking out on a bay of ships. I don't know if I said that. They're in her planning room. And they're like, what are you going to scurry into hiding? We got dragons. We got... Tyrion's like, well, we don't want anybody to get stomach aches or anything. And Tyrion goes, we do things on the up and up. And then Elia Sand says, what are you saying? You're talking about Mycela? Weak. She goes, I can't believe my husband, brother, or whatever, was defending you. And Khaleesi says, please treat Tyrion with respect. And then she quotes him. She goes, I'm not here to be queen of the ashes, yo. And Olana, she's got a BS meter. She goes, you know who was loved as my granddaughter? Common people loved her. Rich people loved her. Now she's ashes. And Olana says, this was a key scene. Let me just rewind it by 10 seconds. This quote is to me the whole commoners, nobles, they're all just children, really. They won't obey you, unless, blankety-blankety. And that seems to be, commoners and, royals or children really is, one of the key things about Game of Thrones. And then Khaleesi says, this is my gig, so listen up. We're not going to just roll into King's Landing like everybody expects. She goes, we're going to do some siege action. First, what are you going to ask politely? And Cersei goes, no, you know, you two are going to go and, like, run it so there's no, so we can get a hold of the xenophobia. You know, you'll do it because you're Westerosi. So then they can't, Cersei can't use that political wedge. You're going to go pick up the Dornish in the Iron Fleet and then bring them up there. Tyrells will be there. Mace Tyrell will be bumbling around probably on a mule, except he was probably at that wedding. And she goes, Olana's like, what are you going to be doing? And then they blow their mind. They say, well, how about we hit up that Casterly Rock with the Unsullied and Grey Worm and the crew. We roll right up on that, and everyone goes silent. And Ellie Sand even grins a little, I think, yeah. And their minds are blown. And Khaleesi says, so what's up? You in or you out? And everybody says, oh, we're in now. Also, Theon was there in the background, all quiet. Let's see, if that's enough. I'm not here, you know, to make friends. And Khaleesi says, okay, that's it. Hit the road. Lady Olana, can I speak to you alone? And they have a great conversation. Khaleesi says, listen, I know you don't like me, and I know you're out for Cersei. Don't worry. I got it covered. I'll take care of it. And we're going to do the peace thing, the peace train. And Olana says, peace. Your father, their father, their father, their father. They all promise peace. There's no peace. It never lasts. She goes, you want to take advice from an old woman? I've been listening to a lot of men running their yaps. You clever men like your hand. They know everything. Total mansplainers. And you know why I'm kicking ass still? She goes, because they're a bunch of sheep. That's why they mansplain, because they say, well, other people mansplain. I gotta be an expert on something. Vocal fry, you know, I just post in forums about, great podcasting, brilliant journalists with vocal fry. And she says, are you tired of that trope too? Who cares what you think about people's voices? She says all that. She says, so that was like a little bit of a tangent she went on. And she goes, hey, are you a sheep, Khaleesi? Because you don't look like a sheep to me. You know what? You look like a dragon. So be a dragon. And Khaleesi goes, oh, yeah, you're right. Total badass. We're both badasses. And she goes, maybe we don't even need that word anymore. And I said, well, I guarantee I'll be accidentally mansplaining something. Then I woke up, but that part was a dream. But I loved that scene. She goes, are you a sheep? I don't think so. You're a dragon? Be a dragon. She goes, no, you're a dragon. It'll get chills just knowing those two are on the same team. Yeah, then there's this long, sharp sword getting sharpened, and there's a knock at the door. And let me check what he said. It's Grey Worm sharpening the thing. I think he said McGee or something, which means come on in. And this is a very touching scene between, and I guess can't help having a crush on someone that's part of but this is I guess I was jealous, but I was just appreciating how well done the scene was. Majai, M-A-J-I. I think that means come in. So he's in his room, and Missandei comes in, and she goes, were you going to say goodbye? He goes, no, I was trying to get out of here. He goes, I'll see you when I get back. And she goes, she's like, what the heck, dude? You can see how hurt she is. And he's kind of cold. So she goes, well, I wish you good fortune. And then she goes to leave, and then he says, Missandei, come in here. He goes, I'm strong and everything, but I'm weak in love. And he said he was the bravest. You know, he always had to be the bravest because he was a little bit smaller until he met Missandei from the Isle of Narth. And he goes, you're my weakness. But he really goes, you know, really, I love you. And she swallows. He does this long explanation of, you know, what it's like to be an unsullied and not to have any weakness. Really good. I mean, like I said, like last season when these two, like with their, when they were drinking that wine, or at least she was, like the silliness when they were alone with Tyrion. But anyway, like he goes, now I'm afraid because I'm in love. I fear. And she goes, I do too. And then they have this long moment, then this epic kiss, and then I don't know if it was what band does that song. I think it's like, I don't know, like I can't remember now, but I don't think it's the same. But, you know, they said they feel like making love, and they do, just like the song says. And you know what else they feel like doing is transferring to a shot of the library. Where Sam's, you know, Sam has been making a lot of love to the books, like in a good way, like, and I mean in a metaphorical way, because he's got it down. His boss is stacking. First book is The History of Lannister, so I don't know if that'll get a callback. But he's like, you know, I really need to find my voice. I couldn't tell, I guess, if he was talking about Sam ghostwriting for him or when Sam starts writing. But so whatever, so he's like, one of us is going to find our voice. So read a lot of different books so you can find like different styles. And Sam goes, what's the title of your book? Anyway, boss, and I can't remember. He says like, you know, Peppers and a Chronicle of the Wars of following the death of King Robert the First, Sam makes a bad smell face. He goes, well, you don't like the title? And Sam goes, what about something more poetic? And he goes, dude, we're not poets, Charlie. And Sam's trying to get him to help. Like, he says, geez, I've been reading a ton of books about this grayscale stuff. He goes, you know, come on. He says, I think I can find a way to do it. But his boss is like, no chance. No, you're not going to do it. And then we see a letter to Khaleesi, great penmanship. It's blurred, so we couldn't read anything but the Citadel. But then we hear a squeaking cart, and it interrupts his Ser Jorah, so it interrupts his thoughts. And then Sam rolls in. He's like, hello. He goes, what are you doing here? He goes, I love Sam. He goes, my name's Samwell Tarly, sworn brother of the Night's Watch. Knew your father, loved your father. He goes, today's not like the day. Reminded me of so many different scenes in movies. He goes, today's the day you get cured. I'm going to figure it out right now. And he goes, drink this, all of it. He goes, what is it, rum? And then Sam hands it to him, takes a bag, takes a big pull. And then he pulls out Pylos on rare grayscale stuff. He goes, can you take off your shirt? And he goes, this isn't for like modeling photos. This is, I got work to do. And then bite down on this leather thing. And Ser Jorah goes, you done this before? He goes, no. Something at face. Something nose at face. No, something face. But he goes, I'm the best you got. And then we have Sam starts to try to cure Ser Jorah. And it was such an intense scene for Ser Jorah. And I don't know if this was intentional, but I'm very manipulative. Like, as I said, like, I love being manipulated by the Game of Thrones team. That's one of my favorite things about the show, and is not being spoiled, is being led on an emotional journey. And being led in unexpected places. And I did not expect to forgive Ser Jorah. And I don't know if I'm forgiving him because it's more of an emotional burn. But this won him back again. Like, it was kind of similar to Walter White a couple of times when Walter lost me. Like, this one once, like I said, okay, I like Jorah again. I mean, he's no Onion Knight. But he's like, seriously, like, I guess, like, is like I said, okay, like, I am feeling for him again. I have some comfort. Like, I want him to be cured and continue his mission. Then we see, then Sam's going to poke something on Ser Jorah. Then we see a pie getting poked. And then we see it's a hot pie. And it's hot pie and Arya in that place where hot pie got hired. He goes, hey, Harry, what's up? Ari goes, hey, like, where are you delivering these pies? I'm going to eat it. She cuts it like a pro. And saying, like, just like I said, a hot pie, you could have a podcast. He goes, oh, the secret's browning the butter first before you make the dough or something. Ari goes, oh, well, I didn't do that. A little Aria pie joke for those people that really like, for the Frey family, I guess. And then he goes, did you ever find that lady night? Like, I sent her to find you and your sister. And then there's even like a little bit of a like moment. He goes, what happened to you, Harry? And Arya kind of thinks about it. She goes, give me some ale, man. And he says, did you know about Jon Snow? He goes, where are you going? She goes, deal with Cersei in King's Landing. And he goes, did you hear about that Sept of Baelor? Who would blow up a Sept? And like, I don't believe Cersei did it. Arya goes, Cersei would do that. He goes, well, why would you go there when your brother's king of the north, Jon Snow? And then the music starts, and Arya's mind's blown, and she says, thanks, I'm out of here. And then there's a nice little thing. Hot Pie goes, geez, I'm just like you, Arya, or I'm like you, we're survivors. Then Arya goes out front, she changes her path to head north, and once again, it's like, this one is like, will Arya find her way home, and what will home be when she finds, her home and her will be so drastically changed, you know, then I guess that'll be the time for her to find her way home. She's definitely taking the long way home. I don't mean to quote songs. Jon Snow, oh, okay. So she changes her path yet again. Then we see Jon Snow's in a map, the maester, the new maester rolls up on him. He goes, here's a note for Raven from the Citadel. And Jon goes, this is a game changer, so I got to make a speech about it. And he makes a speech about there's dueling scrolls. He goes, scroll number one, a dragon glass, a dragon scroll, just dragon stone. Scroll number two, three dragons and the dragon queen and Unsullied and Tyrion Lannister. At Dragonstone, Daenerys, Dany, she wants me to go bend the knee. When he says that, and Tyrion, he goes, this one's from Tyrion, the hand to Daenerys to Targaryen. Baelish has a reaction, like, hmm. And Sansa just watches, she's stone cool. Then they says, yeah, three dragons, And he goes, they said, come visit us. And he goes, I'm going to accept because we need dragon glass and allies. Sir Davos and I are going. And Sansa goes, no way. Don't be the dummy, you know. She goes, she's here for kingdoms, not friends. Then the big guy with the breastplate from the Vale, that, you know, was not very good at much, but getting tricked by Baelish. He says, yeah, you shouldn't go. No way. Then the old gruff guy from the north, he says no. Then the young woman from Bear Island says no. She goes, we need a king in the north. Oh, and when he said, I'm going to accept, he looked over at Arya for a while. 43-28, someone pounds out order in the court. I didn't know who did that, because everybody's, you know, objecting. Jon's quiet. He goes, yeah, you crown me king. I didn't want to be king, but the north is my home. And no matter the odds, I'm going to stick up for it. But we need allies, powerful allies. And then he turns to Sansa again. He goes, I know it's a risk, but he goes, basically, I'm leaving things in good hands. She goes, whose hands? He goes, yours. The north is yours. 44-42. We see Baelish likes this. Also, next to Baelish, two or three of the candles were out. So I don't know if the light didn't, if he didn't like the heat or the light, or he blew them. You know, that'd be a Baelish move to just blow out candles. But I don't know, it stuck out. Brienne likes it. Sansa accepts her brother's, that she's going to be warden of the North, I guess, with a nod. And then we go down to the below Winterfell. We see a pretty weak Ned statue. That's just my opinion. But or I guess it, like, maybe not, I don't know. And, Jen looks, what is, oh, John's looking at the thing, asking, you know, praying to his dad or whatever. And Baelish rolls up behind him like the Lucky Charms leprechaun. He literally says, hey, delivered him meself. Like, that's what he says, just like a leprechaun, meself. I delivered him meself. And then he says, blah, blah, blah. Do give my regards to Lord Tyrion. Also, let me get super weird. You know, I know your dad loved your stepmom. I loved your stepmom, too. And Jon Snow goes, how did you even get down here? This is family, for family only. And he goes, you know, Jon, he goes, Stacey Cat totally underestimated you. You're our only hope. He goes, you're our last great hope. And, you know, he says, you don't belong down here. And Baelish goes, forgive me, we've never talked. And then Jon goes, we're not going to, because you're a fool. Which I think was risky, you know, because Baelish is too crafty. And Baelish says, how about a thank you, man? I saved your butt with my stolen army. And also, not only do I love your mother, I love your sister and your mother. Did I say I love your mother and your sister? I'm confused about it, too. Could we talk for a minute? Do you think I love your sister because I love her, or because she reminds me of your mother? And does it matter? And Jon Snow goes, oh, it matters. Just go somewhere else and deal with these issues away from Winterfell. And he kind of storms off. He's not happy about it at all. And Baelish kind of looks after him, kind of like, what the heck? Which is not good, you know, Baelish is like a better bird in the hand. He's better, almost better that, like, I don't know anybody's, like, let him trick them. Maybe that's what Sansa will do. You know, let him pull the strings and then, you know, pull the strings out from under him. But I don't know. Maybe that's too tropey. I don't know. But let's see. Jon Snow comes out. He hops on his horse, waves goodbye to Sansa. There's lots of snow. Then Baelish rolls out after him, kind of looking like he met with Lord Vader. And there's a long look he gives around, and then a long shot of him and Sansa, and like separated by distance. Then there's a Arya's in a cold, cold night. Her horse is nervous. And then she gets surrounded, and she meets with Nymeria again, her old wolf that she left behind. Probably somewhere nearby years and years ago when she was a different person. And it's a really long scene. It actually frightened me a little bit because they just said, well, this isn't going to be one of these anticlimactic where we, like, I was afraid for, like, Arya. She was having an emotional moment. But for me, I guess I was caught up in the physical moment where she was with her old wolf. And they said, no, we can't lose. This isn't how we can lose Arya, I would hope. And it turns out, no, Nymeria just says, I'm a wild wolf now, Arya. You're a wild one. Sheep, dragon, wolves. Why don't you head back north? I'm going to stick around. And Arya gets it. You know, she says, okay, I get it. I'm still not sure exactly who I am, but I'm still on the road. You know, I'm on the road to discovery. So let's see. Then the dog does not want to go north, but it was a dire wolf. And then we were at the last scene, and it was shot a little bit differently. Well, the action parts. And I watched this on a phone, and I don't know if it was like watching it on a phone. It was very late at night on Sunday because I had a ton of family stuff, so I was also exhausted. And so I don't suggest watching that like that, but it starts off with the three sisters are kind of getting drunk, the three Sand sisters, and talking, making fun of each other, mama, 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 and what they're going to do when they get to King's Landing. Then we have, Theon's sister and Elia Sand drinking Dornish, like whatever ale. And she goes, this stuff's terrible. Wait till we drink some Dornish red. Then they start flirting because she's like, do you have a boy or a girl? She goes, I have a boy or a girl in every port. It depends on the port. But then she kind of calls Theon her protector. because Elias Sand's kind of treating him like he's a servant. And then their ship, it rocks because there's like this party siren, or I don't know if siren's the right word. Turns out it's game night. And it's also like, what better game night than when it's like thundering and cloudy? But of course, who comes over but freaking, what's his name, and all his nutty friends. And they go out, and it's definitely shot at like a different frame rate or something, or at least parts of it were. And Euron comes, he just shows up uninvited. And they're playing this weird game. It's a combination of marbles and pogs. Neither game I ever played. But I've slowly learned that the purpose of both those games is to take stuff from the other players. Like, you would play pog, or you play marbles, but you were really trying to win the other kid's pogs or marbles. Like, so it was a competition with real risk. Like, you're losing. But with, they start playing, and it freaking turns out Euron's, like he's made the rules of the game. He's also, like, dominating in strategy, marble pog strategy. And for a while, it's, like, a little bit competitive, but he starts just winning all the ships. He says, oh, by the way, these pogs are real ships from the Iron Fleet. And everyone else was like, and he goes, not just that, like, those are the pogs. The marbles are, you got to go visit all the puppies that you used to have when you were a little kid. So it gets really complicated and intense, you know, feelings are hurt. They said, well, I just lost all my marbles. What am I going to play with now? What are my parents going to say? They just came down here to play pogs and marbles. I didn't realize it had real stakes. And, you know, really Theon just can't handle it. Because he's been through a lot already. Because his sister says, I think Euron broke the rules, by the way. And I need you, like it just ends up being the three of them. And she goes, you need to stand up to him and tell him he's breaking the rules. Like, this isn't fair. He should return some of our ships or some of our friends or something. And Euron's like, no, this is all or nothing. I'm going to win all the marbles, all the pogs. And he goes, you know, I are you assertive, Theon? And Theon goes, I've been through too much. I got to get out of here. I'm not a protector of pogs. I'm not a protector of marbles. We've lost our marbles. And metaphorically, like he has in the past, had his marbles taken away before. And didn't even realize the third layer of marbles that he lost. But he did. And so he just jumps. He says, I'm going to go swimming. I need to clear my head. And Euron's got this crazed laugh. He's taking all the other kids' toys. And then the last scene is Theon in the water watching all his sibling sister. And all the people he's supposed to be working with, that they were going to have their own game night, private, without Euron and Euron's people. Like, watching them leave, just basically drive off in a ship with all the marbles, all the pogs, all, everything. And at the end, it's in the water, and he goes, wait, I don't even have a ride home. I don't know who's going to pick me up. And not exactly the way to end it, because not only that, they had, a lot of the Khaleesi, the Khaleesi had said, this is for the big game night, no mansplaining, and, you know, we're going to just have a game night without any friggin' patriarchy crap, and all those toys are gone, all those pogs and marbles are gone. And so Theon's going to have to sit with that, and that's how we sit with the episode comes to a close. But you know what we know, the Khaleesi won't, you know, she won't hang with that. She'll say, we don't need to play, she goes, we'll play with gold doubloons or something. We don't need your friggin' pogs, Euron. Plus, Euron rhymes with moron, kind of. Moron. So it'll work out. It'll be fine for Theon. You know, hopefully he gets one more shot at redemption. Or maybe they just say, well, let's play dominoes instead. and just keep score with pen and a pencil. No real stakes. But it's hard when you think about it as a kid. I didn't realize that. I never played marbles. That skipped my generation. And then when Pogs came around, I missed that trend too. The closest thing I had was like a baseball cards, but I wasn't a collector. So sometimes people would trade baseball cards, and I tried a couple times. So I don't know. So I can't help you, Theon. Well, all I can do is think about like that. You know, I like Sir Jorah again, so that's always good. Yeah, right. We'll get on to the next section a little bit here. Okay, so let's talk about some facts from tonight's show that came up. You know, the first one was the rain, and there's a lot of songs about rain. But Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head is one song that's about raindrops falling on my head. It's by B.J. Thomas. It says it's from the Forrest Gump soundtrack. I always associate it with, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And also, this is one of the few, I do freestyle a lot of things on my own. And this is one song I like to freestyle. Well, I don't freestyle. I go from Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head to like one of the first to hit YouTube videos. I think before there wasn't even YouTube with this guy, Andy. He was a comic. He looked like he was a kid. Andy Milonakis, I think was his name. And he had this really naughty rap. That was real funny. But anyway, Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. And that's just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed did not know that nothing seems to fit. Raindrops are falling on my head. They keep falling. Does Carly Simon sing this one? So I just did me some talking to the sun. And I said I don't like the way he got things done. Sleeping on the job. Those raindrops keep falling on my head. They keep falling. But there's one thing I know. The blues they send to meet me won't defeat me. It won't be long till happiness steps up to greet me, Khaleesi. Raindrops keep falling on my head. But that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me. Dragons don't cry, I guess, because I'm not going to ever stop the rain by complaining because I'm free. Nothing's worrying me. It won't be long till happiness steps up to greet me. Raindrops keep falling on my head. But that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me. Because I'm never going to stop the rain by complaining because I'm free. Nothing's worrying me. So that's Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. Then there was a moment where everybody, who was the first person that said, I choose you? Varys said that to Khaleesi. And that reminded me of the epic Simpsons episode from early season, which we'll talk about here, where Lisa gives out, my memory is that Lisa gives out Valentine's to everybody. I'm very much like Ralph Wiggum. So this was this episode really reminds me of me. And Lisa gives every kid a Valentine. But of course, I think Ralph only gets one from Lisa. So he falls in love with her because he gets a little affection. And they used to have to be like, at least the women in my life knew, they would say, now don't read anything into this. It doesn't mean anything. I think at least it does say that to Ralph, but the thing is a train, and it says, I choose you. So let's see what Wikipedia says. They called the episode I Love Lisa, 15th episode of the fourth season, 1993, February 11th, so right around Valentine's Day. Lisa gives Ralph a Valentine's Day card because he didn't have any. He reads too much into it and relentlessly pursues Lisa with affection. Lisa loses her temper and says she never liked him. And then Ralph channels his feelings into his performance as George Washington at the President's Day pageant. And he's able to accept Lisa as a friend. Let's see, she gives, Ralph doesn't get any, Lisa hands him a card out of sympathy, Ralph cheers up and develops her, but it doesn't say the card, it was a train that said, I choose you. Let's read about the production. This was the first episode Frank Mueller wrote for The Simpsons. Previously worked at Gracie Films with Sam Simon, the great Sam Simon. And this was the first season 4 episode that Wes Archer directed. Jeff Martin and Mueller wrote the music for the pageant, and Michael Carrington stars as Rex, a boy who auditions for George Washington, but Ralph wins. The story of I Love Lisa originated from a personal episode of Al Jean's life in 3rd grade. He received Valentine's from a girl that said, "I choose you." Years later, Gene wondered if the girl had really liked him. And he told Mike Reese about it, and they thought it could be an episode where Lisa gives a Valentine to Ralph Wiggum, who takes it too far. Wow, this is funny. At that time, Ralph and Chief Wiggum were not established as being related. Gene thought it'd be funny if Ralph was Wiggum's son. You just have to read it for yourself. The technique of staff used to come up with stories and ideas to think, what holiday haven't we done on The Simpsons or done lately? And they liked the idea of doing a Valentine's Day episode. Monster Mash and Break On Through are featured in the episode, and Strangers in Paradise is in the Itchy and Scratchy cartoon. The fictional character's voice of Droopy Dog's in it. Stuff with Arnold Schwarzenegger. References to Paul Rubens. In the original broadcast, it finished 18th in the ratings for the week with a Nielsen rating of 14.9, highest rated show on Fox that week. And it got a lot of positive reviews. I loved it. Controversy. When Skinner tells the children at school that Valentine's Day is not a joke, because Bart makes fake candy hearts, he had a flashback of which he was of when he was serving as a veteran. And there's references to Colonel Kurtz in there. Skinner sees one of his old friends, and they talk about sending Valentine's Days and being a veteran, and how tough it is, and the reference to Apocalypse Now. I guess I don't know the controversy. It's tough to read. Maybe they just didn't like that it was about that. So that's I choose you. Another pop culture reference that came up for me was in Maester Caliburn pitching Circe on it was this military industrial complex arms dealer feel to it. And it reminded this movie I saw a lot as a kid called Deal of the Century with Chevy Chase and Gregory Hines. And I really liked it as a kid when I was in fourth grade. And I didn't really hear much about it. It turns out that I guess it wasn't very good except for kids that shouldn't have been watching it. So this is Roger Ebert's review of it from November 8th, 1983. I'll be quoting and paraphrasing. This is on RogerEbert.com. Hey, Roger, what's up? Hope you like this podcast, but I guess you like, I just about decided there's no such thing as madcap comedy. Tragedy can be random. Slices of life don't have to make a lot of sense, but comedy requires discipline. Unless a comedy is about something, unless it establishes ground rules, there's no way to violate those rules to get laughs. People running around, acting funny, look unhappy, awkward, and uncertain. And that's what they look like in William Friedkin's Deal of the Century, a movie that depends on inspiration when it should have depended on a script or rules, I guess. Chevy Chase, Gregory Hines, Wally Shaw, and Sigourney Weaver all star in it. Chase and Hines are second-rate arms dealers who go anywhere to sell their army surplus merchandise, and the plot grows fearsomely complicated. Chase and Hines get involved with Sigourney Weaver, who's the widow of a competing arms dealer. They're in South America, trying to make a big deal with a peacemaker. which is manufactured by a big company, but it's flawed. So they use Chase as a middleman to sell it fast in Central America. And so it's on all episode, no structure, all hijinks, no discipline. Chevy Chase labors manfully, but once again, he hasn't been asked to play a character. He's been asked to play Chevy Chase. After his disasters, he raises his eyebrow in his famous patented, "What can you do?" look, and we grow a little exasperated. By the evidence, Steal the Century seems to have had one of two problems. Either it was filmed without a finished script, or it was originally a lot longer. And this version is missing some crucial narrative links. Either way, movie's a disappointing mess. So, that, like, that's Steal the Century. I mean, I remember as a kid, like, I liked that madcap style, but I, you know, I was in fourth grade. So that's it. And then here's another lyrics. And I guess you could see this is goes to this Missandei Grey Worm scene because they were saying goodbye to one another. How do I say goodbye to what we had? The good times that made us last, that made us laugh, outweigh the bad. I thought we'd get to see forever, but forever's gone away. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. I don't know where this road is going to lead. All I know is where we've been through, or where we've been and what we've been through. If we get to see tomorrow, I hope it's worth the wait, because it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. And most importantly, and I'll take with me my memories, take with me the memories to be my sunshine after the rain. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. And it looks like that was written by Christina Perrin and Frederick Perrin, performed originally by Boys to Men and Cooley High Harmony. And then let's finish up with Pogs, because I didn't even barely know what Pogs were, and maybe people don't know about that, and we'll talk about marbles. This is a Mental Floss article, The Weird History of Pogs, P-O-G-S, by Kate Erbland, from January 3rd, 2014. And I'll be, like, trying to paraphrase. And during the Neantinge days of the 80s and 90s, slap bracelets hit wrists, Game Boys, Trapper Keepers. But there was one lo-fi toy, I think this was in the early 90s, so not the late 80s, that every youngster wanted without realizing that it used to be just milk bottle caps. You didn't forget that Pogs were originally milk bottle caps, did you? Maybe when you were playing tetherball, at least together start the game of Menko. The actual gameplay behind Pogs has been attributed to the classic game, Japanese game Menko, which is popular since the Edo period. It was centered on paper players attempting to flip cards or pieces of their opponent. Much like modern Pogs, the original Menko pieces were the size of milk caps and featured images of Japanese cultural icons like wrestlers and warriors. They weren't made out of cardboard or plastic, though. They were shaped from clay, wood, or ceramics. And Japanese immigrants brought the game with them to Hawaii in the early 20th century. Industrious kids started using milk bottle caps as Menko game pieces, and the game of Menko started evolving. Gameplay, playing Pogs doesn't just involve random throwing and slapping, no matter how it looked at lunchtime. The point of Pog is to flip your opponent's pieces. Most schoolyard battles went, you know, for the Pog, just like for keeps, like I was saying. Players face off by contributing the same number of Pogs to a stack, all face down. First player aims, shoots, and slaps down the slammer on the stack, and if any Pog that flies out and lands face up is their Pog. Repeat, fun, right? Pogs, we know, it sprang from a juice that's popular in Hawaii. Pog juice. Passion, orange, and guava. So delicious. So then there's the World Pog Federation. And then Pog became popular across the country and the world as a go-to delivery service of images. They were banned in schools around the world. But then it burned out by the mid-90s, like a lot of other fads. So that's a little bit about Pogs, and these will be in the show notes if you want to read more. And then Marbles, a spherical toy. This is from Wikipedia, made from glass, clay, steel, plastic, agate or whatever, agate. History, they were started as balls of stone. They were mentioned in Ovid's poems of Rome, seen in Egypt and Mesopotamia, in Britain in the medieval era. The first marbles were first manufactured in Germany, maybe in the 1800s. And then a German glassblower invented marble scissors in 1846, and they moved to, they're made in Akron, Ohio, in the U.S. Marble games, let's see, you flick the marble, let's see, in Australia, they were played with marbles of different sizes, but they were much the way, I don't know the difference between ordinary and non-ordinary marbles. Owners of large marbles didn't want to lose them because they were playing keepsies. Firing a marble meant a player had to flick their marble from a stationary position in their hand. No part of the hand firing the marble was permitted to be in the front position. This is seriously complicated, but basically you're trying to hit people's marbles, you know, to take them. And then people would collect them. And obviously marbles made it longer than... But I've never played a game of marbles, I don't think, in my whole life. Maybe this will be the time when playing marbles comes back. I mean, it does seem like, except for losing the marbles part, that it could be somewhat relaxing, maybe. I mean, I like to, we just put marbles in bags and... You know, plan if we were like in Home Alone, you know, if we needed them or the Goonies, we would save marbles for those type situations and use them to make noises to get on my parents' nerves. So that's marbles. That's some of the facts that came up tonight. Thanks for listening. And here's the next part of the show. Okay. You ready, Podman? Okay. Well, I have to introduce. Okay. I know you're excited, Tom. And oh, yes, I'm so excited, Podman. And it's been a long time since you've been on the show, I think. I mean, I won't know until this is aired, but I want to introduce everybody to you. And you don't trust me to introduce myself. I realize that. But I won't be myself. I'll be a figure. So Pounce and I are going to take... Okay, we'll do all the radio stuff. I just wanted people to know because it's been a year since you've had a regular thing on the show. Oh, and why is that? Were you saying it was because Martin took so long? It was the HBO. You said, darn that HBO. Why isn't the show 10 episodes and sooner? Didn't you complain about that once? Okay, thanks, Simon. But so, hey, everybody's here in this segment. This is a regular segment we have on Game of Thrones episodes. And it's with, I guess if you're a Game of Thrones listener, you'll know that you'll be familiar with these characters, Sir Tommen and Sir Pounce, Prince Tommen, King Tommen. The details of how I can make a podcast with Prince Tommen and Sir Pounce may or may, they're in the older episodes. So you may or may not hear that, but it's an honor to have them. Holy mackerel, is it an honor. And if you don't watch Game of Thrones, you're listening. That's great. Tommen was once the king of Westeros, I think, and then he became changed his name to Mikey and came to live with my neighbor. But since this is Game of Thrones, he's still going to go by Tommen. He doesn't watch the show, just in case anybody asks, because that'd be terribly confusing for him. But yeah, he lives now under the name Mikey. Also, it's just too confusing, but he likes to have an old-time style radio show with him and Sir Pounce, and him. And I guess with all that, I'll turn it over to Tommen and Pounce. Well, hello, everyone. This is Mikey, Mikey, sir. The general manager of K Pounce Radio, and I want to introduce you to a new segment that we've, you know, due to cost-cutting measures, and because I watched the Star Trek TNG, and I fell in love with this, not in that kind of love, I fell in love with this character. Also, oh, let me, a boy, and oh, and also the pod boy, he makes this podcast. He sometimes he is, can be nice, and he told me when he was a boy like me, but he said he was 10 years younger than me, but anyway, not important that part. He would sit in his room and record himself making commercials, radio commercials. And so we here at Cape Ounce Radio decided to create the golden age of radio commercials after I met Berlinghoff. He'll be a character, though. That's who I'll be playing. In case, also, I'm Sir Tommen playing and pretending to be the general manager of Cape Ounce Radio. I bet you didn't know this. Sir Pounce, they didn't know that. Yes, man. Yes, it is. I am fine. I am good at radioing. In casting the pod, if you're consuming this by pod, well, it may be confusing. So next week I won't explain this to you, and I don't want to have to pike any of you. So make sure you, so without further ado, I'm going to do my radio announcer for podcaster. Pod boy does it. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends beyond the binary, this afternoon's broadcast of The Cat That Ate the Canary is now interrupted for a break from our sponsors. Well, thank you, Ted. This is Professor Berlinghoff Rasmussen here, and I'm here with my partner, Gene. Say hello, everyone. Say hello to everyone, Gene. Hey, Swain. Yes, and we're here today to offer, we have a special offer for all the listeners of Cape Ounce Radio. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with me, but I am a great professor with a time machine, and I cross both time and space looking for the best deals for the listeners of Cape Ounce Radio. And also, we also look behind things and look for things with large margins so we can make the most, you know, because we know the listeners at Cape Ounce Radio have the highest of standards. And I was recently on a journey across time and space into the dumpster land, east, the blue bin, it was called, this planet. It had a moon, maybe it was the moon, the blue bin moon. And I was there with Gene, my cat, my best friend, and my partner. And we had landed on the planet. And I had a feeling in my heart, a feeling of woe, and I could sense it was back on Earth. And I remembered all the sad Earth people I'd seen, especially the pod boy, walking in the rain and getting wet. And I had heard, you know, especially from letters I receive here at Cape Ounce Radio, that, you know, people are saying, oh, when it rains, I get wet, and the only thing I have is an umbrella. And then I'm always losing my umbrellas, and even the pod boy, who I consider the main buffoon, he represents the market of buffoons out there. Now, I know most Cape Ounce listeners aren't buffoons, but maybe you could relate to this thing. He researched a reverse umbrella that wouldn't solve getting lost, but he said, what do you think of this, Tom? And, do you think this really works? I said, ho, ho, ho. I have to travel to the blue blin planet in search of answers, and I'll return when I have one for this rain and this wetness, and I will save Earth from this problem for a price, though. A low price of only $19.99. Massive. And also Friskies. Okay, one can of Friskies. $19.99 plus one can of Friskies. Right, Sir Pounce? Yes, sir. Meow Mix Deluxe. Right. With liver. Only liver. You could send that directly to me. It's prepaid. And we have here. Now, let me get back to the story part of this sale. For the problem is you're all wet, or you have an umbrella, you lose it, or the wind breaks it, or you forget to bring it. But I was on this blue blin planet, and I met these creatures, and they were flat, and they were folded up, and I said, what are you doing hiding behind and within the planet? Some of them lived in the planet's core. Some of them hid behind the planet. They were flat. And I said, what do they call your people? I've never seen a... They said, we are the corrugators. And I said, ooh, the corrugators. Oh, so pleasure to meet you. And I said, what do you do exactly? And they said, well, nothing anymore. Once we held great things, we were vessels of delivery of gifts and wonder, but we've been cast aside. And I said, what a self... You sound like a planet that needs to be saved. And they said, oh, if only we had a hero that cared about us. And then Gene was sniffing them and scratching. And I said, Gene, do you like to scratch at these corrugators? And they said, oh, it feels so good to be needed and not to be cycled. For in our world, when you're no longer loved, you get cycled. And I said, this will not stand. Before my mother, she was like a lot of this comes from my mother, because she would have just she tried to cycle me, you know. And I said, no, this is what the work I've been doing is, Mikey. Oh yes, thank you for licking my hand, Gene. Also, Gene is my best friend, Sir Pounce, really, just in case you don't know that. And I said to these corrugating people, I will bring you back to Earth. And I will find a purpose for you so grand, for I've seen the Earth people. And I know they are plagued at times by these brellas. And I know I could sell you, I said, because I could take you from here for free. You're desperate, right? And they said, we are. And so, Earth people, that day was born, the day your solution to all your rain problems came. Not an umbrella. Not a, or something of a rain slicker, but a something flat, something foldable, and something that you could talk to that comes from a planet from outer space, a corrugator. It's flat, it's foldable, and we also have deluxe ones, which have another thing from another planet called Duktop. From a great another planet, the Duktop silver, it makes it even more water resistant. And you can also get it with it this today only if you purchase with the Friskies in the 1999. I will send you not one, but two personal corrugator rain protectors with their own twine, which you can then use to create a backpack. I do not have the instructions, but you could figure it out. You just poke a hole, you make a knot, and then you could wear it on your back. Because the pod man said, "Would I? I'm going to carry this board around." And I said, "It's not a board. It's a human. It's just like a human from the Blue Bin Planet." And so you send your orders today. And if you want the deluxe model with the Duktop on there, you just throw in an extra $50. And you send it directly to K-Pounce Radio, care of Sir Pounce, the Friskies or the Meow Mix, only liver. Otherwise, we'll return it. It was COD. Yes, that's, I'm serious. I'm a serious businessman now, Mikey, K-Pounce Radio. You have the chance for Professor Berlinghoffer. This is not an earthbound thing. It's a one-time-only deal, too. Otherwise, the price will go up in a two-for-one deal. Also, there is a shipping and handling charge, and it's pending. So, depending on how many orders I get, it is how much I will charge for shipping and handling. But here at K-Pounce Radio, not only that, it will come with a story to tell your friends. The story you've just heard, because at K-Pounce Radio... Story means sales. I think Ray told me to say something like that. Professional. I'm a professional broadcaster. But story means sales. And this is the life I was meant to live, I believe, as Professor Berlinghoffer and a radio man, not as that boy with my mother. She was so confused. But now I have a life here. And it's mostly good, though I do miss her sometimes because she smelled like lavender. Oh, and my brother, my sister. It is so, it also feels good. The other thing about the corrugator is you could rub it and it does, and you can tap it, you can make music, which you could regale your friends. And they say, what is this miracle object you have protecting you from the rain? And you say, this is not of this planet. It is from planet Bluebeam, Professor Berlinghoffer, the world-famous one who Jean-Luc Picard. One day I'll tell you the tale of how I escaped from Jean-Luc Picard. And though I don't have access to that period of time, they've time-locked me or something, I will be raising funds to be untime-locked. That is part of my business here. Also, Berlinghoffer's Vengeance will be a book I'm working on. Sapounce and I. That's amazing. Or audio drama podcast. So get your orders in today. Don't wait. Tell your friends. Corrugation is what's for everybody when it rains. Thank you, Professor Berlinghoff, and Gene, my sidekick, Mason. That's right. Don't miss a chance to avoid the rain. This is Professor Berlinghoff. It's really me and Sapounce. So Tom and hey. That was my first one. I don't know if you liked it. I was pretending to be Professor Rasmussen Berlinghoffer. He was on TNG. I love that show. I love sitting. I asked Podman if I could sit in his lap. He said I was too big. But I do snuggle against him. And so pounce. And then the Podman's allergic to cats, so he sneezes and we laugh. And I say, oh, do you have a one in woes? And he says, I do. I gotta take some Benadryl. But I love it. Berlinghoffer. He has the same hair as the Podman. It is funny. And the Podman said he is also Max Edrum. So that is it for today. Thank you for joining us here on K-Pounce Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends beyond the binary, this is Sir Tommen signing off. Good day. Crone, sweet, sweet Crone, Miller, Smith, Barky, Jester, Hound, I don't know, it's been a while. Hey, Gads, this is like I got to set up the new listeners here. Since it's been about over a year since I talked to you, which doesn't say much about, you know, it doesn't say much about, that's more reflection on me. But, you know, like, and I say, geez, we got a time-sensitive situation, shortened season coming up here. But I say, here's the intro. So new listeners, listeners that don't have listened to this 1,000 times, and they want to introduce the old gods and the new gods and the newest gods. Those of you that watch Game of Thrones and those of you that don't, I'll treat you all equally, just like I treat the gods unequally. Just like the gods treat me unequally, even when I try to treat them unequally and say, well, I'll pray to you more, you know, if you give me some stuff, that didn't work. You know, but in Westeros, the world of Game of Thrones, there's the old gods and the new, and they're all great. And that was where I came to as a believer of Game of Thrones. I said, this is just my personal belief system, in case anybody's listening with RR in the middle of their name, or DB, you know, anybody that, like, this is just my, I'm just mixed up, but, you know, human on earth here, gods, as you know, Crone. I got those notes you left for me. So I said I was watching this Game of Thrones, and I said, well, they got the old gods and the new. Does anybody, double your gods, double your life lessons, in my case, like a double your slow, painful life lessons. But I'm expecting eventually to double my delight with the gods, old and new. So let me introduce our lineup as I do every season. Coming in first, because she'll probably be the first, whatever happens to gods after their gods, all seeing, all knowing. And she knows I'm kidding when I say she's all complaining. She's the crone. and she's the wisest of the wizened, and like it can be grouchy when she's in a good mood, the crone. Other than that, I don't know. She's the wisest of the gods when she's listening into my prayers, which is all the time, because I know you can read thoughts. Supposedly, she can see the future, and when it's not looking good, she lets you know constantly. She's not a harpy, but she knows how to harp on things. That's the crone. And she hasn't smoted me unless, like, she has a new form of smoting that takes forever, and I think she does. So that's the crone. Sorry about that, crone, but I'm nervous, you know, kicking off a new season. So that's the crone. Miller, every god needs to eat. All the gods need to eat. The humans need to eat. And somehow God and Millen got left out when they crafted the gods old and new. And so I said, hey, let's throw a Miller in there. So that's the Miller. Smith is the god who I felt like was getting ripped off, because there's a warrior and a maiden and a smith. And I said, what a ripoff. The smith's got to make all this stuff for the warrior who gets all the glory, gets to kiss the maiden. Unless you guys aren't getting along. And then, you know, I've been telling you, I'm down here, maiden, you know, just doing my thing, you know, human stuff. You know, being fallible, double fallible, too. So that's the smith, crafting, working hard, sweating. Probably has bigger muscles than the warrior. Also, my belief system doesn't have the warrior, because I believe the warrior's overrated. And also, I don't believe it, but I'm seriously hoping the warrior's hard of hearing. Mother and father, other gods that I don't, you know, I got to deal with them on earth. So that's enough for me. So we got the crone, we got the Miller, we got the smith, and next up is the god everyone giggles with delight. The god that represents all the old gods and all the, you know, also has been featured in movies. The god that Joseph Campbell had in mind when he talked about, you know, some of that stuff. Barky, the oldest of the old gods, older than the crone, but Barky knows how to smile. Barky's represented in as old gods, as trees. Might have something to do with Max von Sydow and the children, but I'm not even sure. But I know, you know, I can't pick favorites, but Barky is my favorite god. You know, other than your maiden, that's a different kind of favorites. That's Barky, the old tree. You, in Barky, I don't know if, did you catch Guardians of the Galaxy 2? Because I bought a ticket, a second ticket. I had a seat for you. I brought two dancing Groots with me. And then they said, you can't. And I said, no. This is how Barky's going to see the movie. And then I shouted, what in the name of Treebeard? And they said, sir. Also, I dressed Barky. I didn't have I don't have an official Barky outfit, but I did find a children's costume for the tree from, it was a vintage children's costume from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood of the Tree, where something happened. I forget, because I blocked out that part of my childhood, but, and they said, there's no costumes. And I said, this is a vestment, not a costume. So we didn't, I don't know, I threw your ticket in the air. So in case, so hopefully you saw it. I didn't see it, Barky, because that's, you know, it's still, so again, hopefully Baby Groot, Baby Groot looks super cute in the trailers. So that's Barky, everybody. Okay, Miller, Smith, Barky, Jester. I don't know, you know, I don't know if you're allowed to call gods handsome in a way that doesn't, I don't think the Jester has an ego, because it'd be so big it would, you know, absorb the world. But there's a trickster god who was rolling around Earth, what was he, like the Seven Sons or something, and Then he got a gig dealing with Pablo Escobar. But we all remember him is when he's when he left. I said he should be a god, and he is, and that's the jester, the god that you know, like you know, what can it, also jester. Hopefully, please tell me I'm not dating the maiden, but that's the jester. Oh, also, there's one god who returned to Earth. That's the Hound. So I don't know, the Hound god. I don't know how he dealt with that last season, but that was a god with a hangdog look and like not as grouchy as the crone, but reminds me of me. And that's a Hound. So I think that's all the gods. Probably I forgot some. Miller Smith, Barky, Jester, Hound. I think that's all the gods currently in my lineup. And yeah, if you're new, I usually like to close out a Game of Thrones episode talking to the gods, old and new, for a few minutes. And it's been quite a year, you know, Crone, Miller Smith, Barky Jester, Hound Dog. I don't know if you're listening, but so I want to thank you for all, you know, all those uphills that, you know, thanks for helping me develop my endurance going uphill. Thanks for all the nice people and the nice listeners and the kindness people have showed me. Really taught me a lot about... Oh, thanks for that dude running things here, too, by the way, Crone. That's hilarious. Jester, I don't know if you're in charge of the spray tan or what, but holy moly. And that's all I'll say about that because, you know, just another life lesson tucked in a life lesson, huh, gods? Miller, I don't know if you have anything to do with soda, but I've been, like, since the last time I talked to you guys, I can't, so thanks for that, Miller. Thanks for those refined grains. Keep it up. But really, guys, you know, as always, you know, my biggest things are the F-E-A-R and lack of patience, and I know that's what you're trying to teach me so hard. And Crone, I know I'm passive-aggressive. It must be hard dealing with me. So, you know, my apologies to all the other gods affected. Also, just because I'm maiden, just because I'm apologizing doesn't mean I'm not tough. I'm just not tough in general. But I'm gruff. I'm like a billy goat gruff. But I wanted gods, thanks for showing me all this kindness, all these kind people that listen to this podcast. All the listeners that try to find ways to support it, they say, geez, this really helps me. Let me find a way to help keep this going. That means a lot to me. Thank you for my family. Thank you. Can't help to say anything without that. You know, I'm a lucky person and so lucky to get notes from the Crone. You know, that just cry, like you're doing it wrong. You know, what do you think? You know, thanks, Crone. Those were great reminders. Also, I don't know if my internal critic, I think it's what is it called when you're only into one guy? You know, like I'm into poly gods, but my, you know, my internal critic's monotheistic for you, Crone. So that's always, and I think that's getting stronger. So, but, you know, thank you for helping me. I know I could do better with being patient and maybe being less, like just walking slower, looking people in the eye, smiling, jester. I could definitely use some hands with that, but don't tickle me. Like, don't use your hands to tickle me. I'm not interested in that, but, so that's, I think that's it, gods. I was trying to think what else, I don't know, guys, I missed you. I did miss you all, missed checking in with you. It just, like, I do a lot of recording, so I couldn't record when it's out of season. But, oh, Crone, did I miss you? Those bunions, I can't tell you how many times I thought about them and said, oh, boy, I said, what am I feeling so out of sorts? Oh, because I'm not rubbing the Crone's bunions. And do I have a pumice stone with your name on it, Crone? Right here in my lap. I got that tub and everything. So I'm ready to do my penance, Crone. And you know, we have fun when we do that. Or, you know, I just do it because hopefully I get some God stuff sooner or later. And, you know, like, I don't know if you have any new liver spots for me to, you know, look at and kiss my finger and touch, but, you know, we'll discuss that, you know, because, you know, as long as you keep those, keep me humble, you know, that's what you, Crone, you got that down. But in all seriousness, guys, it's good to be back for another season at GOT. It's good to be back, you know, in the groove. My spirit is not wail. It's wailing with joy. Well, it's wailing, and it might not sound like joy, but one day I think I'll look back at it and say, oh, no, it's wailing with joy. I just didn't realize it. So keep me patient, gods. Help me with this Tommen and Pounce and every, you know, them as well. And I'll talk to you next week. Thanks, guys. Crone, Miller, Smith, Barky, Jester. Barky, I mean, sorry. Hey, other guys, you could check out Barky. I miss saying your name so much. I wish I would remember that. Just say Barky. It makes me feel good. So hopefully if anyone's listening, they could carry that with them and just say Barky. You know, picture a tree god that's more tree-like than humanoid-like. So Groot, not quite Groot. Or just picture a dancing baby Groot and say Barky and say goodnight. Goodnight, gods. I'll talk to you soon. I want to say thanks and goodnight to all the supporters on Patreon. Maureen, Clementine, and Kathy, thanks and good night. Alexis, Sean, and Allie, thank you and good night. Lynn, Richard, and Kate, thank you and good night. Curran, Penelope, and Alice, good night. Kelsey, Rainey, and Alex, good night. Amber, Eric, and Maggie, good night. Marissa, Danielle, and Nikki, good night. Sunny, Lori, and Deanne, thanks and good night. Our longtime friend, Laurel, thanks and good night. Chris H., Sarah P., and Olivia, thanks and good night. Jeff with the G, Jennifer to the G, and Scott W., thank you and good night. Brian, Andrea and Yaman, thanks and good night. Jasmine, Robin, and Richard, thank you and good night. Megan, Sherry, and Carla, thank you and good night. Britt, Emil, and Vanessa, thanks and good night. Vicky, Julie, and Charlene, thanks and good night. Christina, Dustin, and Christopher, thank you and good night. Emma, Derek, and Kelly, thank you and good night. Rhoda, Julia, and Elizabeth, thank you and good night. Miles, Stephen, and Alex, thanks and good night. Maria, Carolyn, and Kelly, thank you and good night. Lauren, Mitch, and Yvette, thanks and good night. Tiffany, Stacy, and Carol, thanks and good night. Yinny, Ann and Ronald, thank you and good night. Heather, Christopher P., and Jen, thanks and good night. Joanne, Johnny, and Esther, thanks and good night. Julia, Dana, and Rachel, thanks and good night. Noah, Shannon, and Rory, thanks and good night. Brady and Brian, thank you and good night. Thank you for supporting the show on Patreon. And over on PayPal, I want to thank Sarah, Christine, and Kate. Thanks and good night. Nick, Robert, and Brenda. Thank you and good night. Tina, Ray, and Ann. Thanks and good night. Maria and Kevin. Thank you and good night. Thanks for the support on Patreon. Thanks and good night. And over on Venmo, I want to thank Mary R., who's a longtime Venmo helper. Adam P., thank you and good night. And another recurring Venmo, our friend Maddie. Thank you. Thanks and good night, everybody. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in the, my app is I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro, all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So, that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10... then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 1250, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex, episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me. And most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists. From that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.